Hey, welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Uber and Lyft is shaking up the medical industry. Neo-Nazis aren't banned from YouTube, and we have Oscar news. Let's get into it.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is Geek Nerd Tech, G&T. We are in the place to be. It's my boy Nipsey Hussle. I got my man Ryan back in the building.
Some real West Coast, man.
We West Coasting. What's good, man?
What's good, brother?
Yes, sir. My man. You in the suit today, man. Looking clean.
You know what, man? I got to keep you on your toes. See, guys, like I need you to not know what you're going to get. You might get the ball player. You might get the businessman.
Okay.
You don't know what it is, man. You don't know how to peg me, man.
I love it. Yeah, keep them guessing, man.
Yes, sir.
That's right, brother. Well, yeah, man, let's just hop right in, man. We got a lot of great stuff to cover today. First thing up, Uber and Lyft. As we know, they are ride-sharing companies, and they are plunging into the healthcare business, and they think they have a way to solve a major issue. And so the issue is that there's a lot of money that is spent in helping people with terminal illnesses and just even preventable illnesses because people cannot get to their appointments, right? Because they don't have the transportation.
Yes.
So you miss the appointment, you get sicker, then it makes the medical bills higher. So Uber and Lyft is saying, well, hey, we can help transport people to and from their hospital visits, and we can also notify them to make sure that they're on time. And it's a seamless flow of, hey, getting your medical needs met. So, hey, that sounds like a good idea, right?
Huge idea.
All right.
There's an element that you haven't seen, not just the doctor visits, but if I am a handicapped individual that requires a handicapped mobile van or vehicle, accessible vehicle,
right?
There's a lot of money being made in a limited portion or limited space. And just because I'm handicapped, does that mean that I can't go to the beach,
exactly,
go to the zoo, go and see different things? So you expand the world of those who want to be out and about and see things and just are limited by handicaps, and a friend or family member may have a tough time picking them up, getting them where they need to be. And you have so many different, like people drive Uber that you wouldn't even expect. Like, you drive an Uber? Like, I didn't expect that. And that would be able to be in these type of services. So, like, that's so huge. Doctor visits, healthcare, running spaces, or like, you don't want it to be literally an emergency for you to be able to get somewhere. So this is just a space, man, that's needed. Huge, huge need, Akili.
Well, I definitely think it's a huge need, especially, I mean, and this is why that's why technology is important, because it's, you know, you want to disrupt systems, you want to solve problems, you want to figure out better efficient ways of doing things. And so, like, something as simple as, hey, I don't have a car, or I don't want to hop on the bus to get to my doctor visit, now I can use a company like Uber or Lyft to do that. And not just that, from a company perspective, Uber and Lyft would partner with, you know, those in the medical industry, be like, hey, this is a problem that we can come together and collaborate on that will help literally, like, make everything more effective and help build sustenance to people's lives. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a great thing.
Well, something quite common too.
Yes, sir.
When you get a little older, some people have to have monthly procedures where they get, you know, put to sleep or doped up in which they cannot drive, or getting a shot in the back.
Yeah.
You can't drive.
Exactly.
So not having to have a friend or family member take
you,
off
you
work.
You may not have a family member or a friend. You might be all by yourself.
Absolutely. So you're accessible to do these things, and, you know, probably paid by the insurance company. Even.
Exactly. Man, that's an interesting thing. Another thing that people are doing, which I felt was fascinating, is that people are, I mean, it's crazy. So you have an emergency, a medical emergency, right?
Okay.
And, like, people are saying they'd rather take an Uber than call 911 for an ambulance because it's too expensive.
I don't know if you have the numbers, but
I think it's 500.
It's ridiculous, minimum? Bro. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And let them have to, like, pull out a needle or something, give you a shot, recessive. Oh, man, that's, you're getting taxed, bro.
Taxation. So people are saying, hey, I'd rather hop in the Uber and just make my way through to the hospital, never mind the ambulance.
Go to the urgent care, bro.
Man. Give me some
slide some penicillin over there.
God, like,
penicillin
but
and some
about
ice.
It, you all messed up and, like, you're like, nah, babe, you can't call the ambulance. Like, just hit the Uber real quick.
Would this ever happen in Europe?
Man. Nah, I mean, in places where the medical industry is socialized, where it's available to all, and you don't have these crazy skyrocketed prices. Like, and you could actually, you have the confidence that, you know, the government is going to take care, yes, of your needs, and so you, yes, ain't got to pay for, you don't have to worry about, hey, am I going to lose my arm because I can't afford an ambulance? Pretty, so I'm going to call the Uber and just risk it.
You know, it's interesting. If you look at the dynamic of Uber drivers, I don't know how much you use Uber. You use Uber, yeah, enough, right?
All the time.
There used to be Uber XL.
Yeah.
And for a 7-foot guy, I used to get Uber XL.
Yeah.
Until I got into a Navigator or a Tahoe that had worse legroom than a Prius. Because ultimately, all you want is legroom, right?
Of course.
It's not about the size of the car. It's the legroom. Depending on the passengers. So this could be a space.
The Uber ambulance?
Where these XLs are used. There are a lot of people with vans.
Or just even the Uber ambulance.
Man, listen, facts. If you go and choose, create this entity, man, people will go out and buy cars,
that's right,
to get the work.
Man.
Because it has to be used, or you're getting paid through an insurance company, or sitting at the hospital like an airport, my dude. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's
so
crazy.
You create a space where there's a need, man. Like, genius idea, man. And it's a real issue, man. You got people, yeah, of every sort of need.
I was gonna say, it sucks that this is even a problem that has to be solved.
Doctor visits are a headache.
I know. I mean, man. Hey, well, hey, I like to see, you know, technology companies that are actually doing something to help improve our lives and improve, you know, the spaces that we inhabit. So I think this is a good thing that Uber, you know, as a company and as a operation, you know, offers us, you know, other outlets to be able to, you,
yes,
know,
yes,
do what we got to do. Hey, well, here's a really interesting story I want to get your ideas on. So we all know what happened a few weeks ago with the school shooting in Florida at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, where 17 people were killed by,
that's horrible, Achille,
by a gunman.
That's
so, let me set it up. So Donald Trump is actually meeting with the video game industry. We all know that the video game industry is a huge industry, $100 billion industry.
Yes.
And he's meeting with the industry because he thinks, and he has been known to say that people that do these type of things are influenced by the video games that they play. And so they're saying that this particular person who shot all these people and killed all these people played a lot of video games, that, and so he was influenced by violence. And so my question to you is, do you believe that? Do you think that video games can have manifesting qualities where you actually go out and kill people? And do you think that there needs to be some type of censorship or some type of legislation to, I guess, minimize the violence in video games?
I'm trying not to dive into politics, so I'm going to try to stay as far out of this as I can. But I'm going to say the greed is disgusting.
Hmm.
The greed is disgusting.
Run it. You got to unpack it. What you mean?
Because you get millions from the NRA, right, backing you.
Right.
So you're going to look, and it's pitiful at this point, because kids are dying right now.
Exactly.
And you're going to look, and it's not just kids. Guns are killing. Guns have been killing people. They're still killing people. And it looks like they're not going to stop.
Yep.
Until you look at the NRA, who's backing your campaign, who's putting millions of dollars up so that you can do things, so that you can fatten your pockets while people are dying.
Man.
These guns have to be limited. Tell me how, before I can drive, I have to take a number of tests. I've got to qualify without any felonies, without any, no DUIs, none of these things, right? To drive. Why? Why, Achille, may I ask?
Why? I mean, we know the answer.
Why, right? Do I need those tests?
Because we want to make sure that you are not a danger to the public.
Because to put a car is potentially what?
A weapon. It could be used
as... literally, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Car is a weapon, right?
Yeah.
And yet, literally with a weapon, you have no psychological test.
Okay.
You have no background.
Tie it in for me. Tie it in,
like,
for
maybe
me.
You have a background, like, you can't be a felon and go buy a gun. Okay, I get that. But there's no psychological aspect
but
to it.
Tie it in. Video games.
There's no checking. There, uh-huh, is no tie-in to video games.
So
no tie-in.
So you don't believe...
It's an element.
I just want to be clear. So you don't believe that violent video games or playing, participating in the video game for hours and hours has no effect on your psychological.
Music is probably a bigger force than video games. It's an element, yes.
But music is in video games. Video games is so much more.
Yeah, but you listen to music all the time.
People play video games all the time.
You got
to
sit down and be a gamer.
You got to sit down.
So to the subliminal,
yeah,
it's there, but music is more widespread. If every day I'm hearing shoot, shoot, shoot them up, kill them, kill them, kill them.
Or every day I'm on the sticks shooting up, killing, killing, killing.
There's less of a majority of people that are on the sticks doing that. And if I'm on the sticks, again, I'm likely a loner. So, yes, it is in video games.
You mean to tell me that Call of Duty, Halo, people aren't spending hours and upon they hours
are,
playing
but
these games?
It has less of, it does not, pales in comparison, pales in comparison to the music that we hear. And if I'm hearing songs.
So the argument is, do you think that there should be some type of resolution or some type of legislation that prevents or has some type of setup where you don't get to see as much violence in video games, because that's what a lot of people are advocating.
Like, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's a joke. You're putting a Band-Aid. If we eliminate all of the gaming violence.
There you go.
Correct? Yeah. We eliminate all gaming violence, people still kill each other.
Yeah.
Because music is, like I said, a bigger influence, but even bigger, you got to go after NRA. You got to go after these gun laws, and you are... This is pitiful, man.
It's super pitiful.
Like, and because
the thing that's crazy about this argument is that the video game industry, we all know, is a global industry. Do we see people in other parts of the world shooting people up, shooting schools up? So I don't think that I don't think that video games, like you said, that's a Band-Aid argument. Like, hey, you take away violent video games, we're still going to have these type of crazy things happening, because it's a deeper issue, right?
Way deeper.
Exactly. So, I mean, but I do think to a certain degree, what you consume,
I agree,
has an effect on you psychologically.
Yes. Do you agree that music is larger than video games, more widespread?
No, I say no, because video games is... You are consciously participating in. You can have music on in the background, but there's music in video games. It's visuals.
True.
It's sound.
But
it's,
okay,
it's a physicality.
So you just held my case out with what you just said.
Yeah,
there's a small demographic, even though growing, of gamers.
Small demographic. It's $100 billion industry.
Even
bro.
Though while growing, hear me. Everybody listens to music.
Okay.
And there's music in the game. So my music is in the game while I'm watching, talking about what's happening, and I hear it outside the game. So even if I'm not a gamer, that music can touch my ears and my soul and my spirit.
Your eyes are your brain. Just so you know that. So what you are consuming.
We talked about being more widespread.
When we talk about babies and how they learn,
okay,
they learn by watching. Like, those images are the first things that they are able to record are those images. Images are important.
And so, what can you do more of, music or games? And I think you just answered your own argument. What can you do more of?
What do you mean?
What touches you more, music or games?
To some people, it's video games.
No.
Yeah.
You hear music all the time.
Nah, bro, that's not true, bro.
You hear it all. You don't get away from it.
Think about how many games you play on your phone.
You're just Trump. You're just Trump because you said there's music in the game.
Bruh.
You just trump what you said, because you said there's music in the game.
As a background element. I am not consciously participating
How
in the music.
How strong is it subliminal, Akili?
Yeah, but the music may not have lyrics, my man. What I'm saying is just music.
No, GTA has lyrics.
That's one game.
Call of Duty, no. Halo, no. Halo's pretend. It ain't Halo. Just straight up.
It's
he met with Call of Duty.
It's not pretend,
he met
bro.
With Call
You're
of Duty
killing.
And, he met with Call of Duty and GTA.
Bro.
GTA has the soundtracks.
Yeah, okay.
Facts.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're probably not even violent soundtracks. They're just probably aggressive. But I'm saying there's music straight off talking about killing somebody, shoot him up, ride or die, he whipped me or not.
Versus actually doing it in a simulation. Like, dog, like, how can you argue that music is more potent?
The subliminal is stronger. The subliminal is way stronger, Keely.
You're actively participating in something that is destructive. Like, we all know from a moral perspective that murder, violence is not good.
True.
But you're playing a game out of amusement for entertainment purposes when you can kill people.
Music
and so
gives
you mean
me,
to tell me, the question is, you mean to tell me that has no effect on your psychology?
Music gives me a real life scenario in which I need to buck back or how my conflict resolution skills act out.
No one listens, listens to the same song 100 hours, bro. There's kids that the same song for 100 hours. Come on,
albums.
Bro. People play the same video game for 100 hours.
Albums.
No way.
I hear you, but that subliminal, that white noise is strong.
There's not white noise in the video game?
that trumps the statement, because I'm saying you're adding that music is in it too.
No, what I'm saying is that video games, the TV as a medium, is way more potent, way more destructive than music, because it's using all your sensory elements. It's your touch, your sight, sound. It's all of it. So it's not
just
one sense.
I can specifically look at a situation, I can diagnose it, and I can tell myself not to do it. But white noise, the subliminal, it can be and is even stronger than me physically being in the act.
I don't understand why you're arguing that.
I don't agree, but we both agree. We both agree it's the little fish. And I say it because it's, as I'm doing my homework, I got some shoot 'em up on. I got some, oh, he tripping, go put it into him. Oh, he messed with my crew. We tag him out, or a rock song.
As soon as I wake up, I'm 10 years old. As soon as I wake up, I'm playing these games that I can kill people
and
on.
And then I walk out the house and I got my earphones on. I can kill hundreds of people in these games. I got my iPod with my iPhone and I'm doing the thing. No, I hear you, bro. I'm not saying that it's not. And ultimately, it's the small fish. It's the Band-Aid over the wound.
No, you're definitely right about that. It's definitely a Band-Aid over the wound. And yeah, I mean, I think this is the greater conversation is how can we as a society figure out how we can live in more peacefully and like figure out a way to heal whatever is happening with people and guns.
Call it for what it is.
Yeah.
He's trying to protect that NRA because he still wants to sell guns.
Absolutely.
And if you had to take a psychological test in order to register for a gun, because you've seen people go out and get AKs just fresh off the street.
Man.
No check, no nothing. Oh, here's my lights. Oh, cool. Here's it. They want to sell the gun and make the money.
Yeah. Speaking of NRA.
Talk to me, bro.
It ties right into our next story. So I don't know if you're familiar with John Oliver, but he is a vocal critic of the NRA. And we all know that, you know, the NRA is trying to create a landscape where guns are normalized, where guns are just literally a part of the fabric of who Americans say they are to be. And so NRA has their own TV platform where literally it's like 24 hours, 7 days a week of showcasing guns. And so doing it from like a documentary perspective all the way to like a QVC where they sell guns, but it's the normalization of it, which is we kind of are desensitized to the fact that it's a weapon that can be used for destructive purposes or for protection, but it's normalized like it's just like a fabric of our lives, right? And so the question that I have for you is, especially what we just talked about with video games, so like platforms or like devices like Apple TV and Roku have the NRA TV as a channel, and do you feel like the proponent of this is helping or hurting? That's the first question. And like, what is your standpoint on guns? That's the question. What is your standpoint? What is your personal standpoint on guns? And do you think that NRA TV is something that is helpful or hurtful?
I'm against guns all the way. I do understand that the police serve and protect. I am thankful that they do their jobs. I put my faith in a higher power. I put my faith in God when it comes to his protection and his guidance and his wisdom. If it's my time to go, it's going to be my time to go. Somebody wants to shoot me up, they shoot me up. I'm not going to go and arm myself to defend myself nor live in fear. I'm going to live in faith. When I think of these guns and I see the way that we want to normalize them, there's nothing normal about it. We've all been there in a spell of anger or fit to where, and we've seen so many cases, and I say each and every man can speak this. If I had a gun in my hand, I'd have killed somebody in the wrong situation already.
Of course.
You've been that angry. You've been that frustrated. An infant, a child can pull the trigger. A coward, reiterate, a coward can pull the trigger. I'm not for it. I think this normalizing, I think this gun training, it's sick. And also in a sense, you know, I'm the conspiracy theorist. You get population control. Because it hasn't hit the right demographic yet. It hasn't hit the right school yet. It hasn't hit the right children yet for someone to go, oh, whoa, 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 we're fed up. This has to change. Whoa. This has to change.
It definitely has.
No. I disagree with you. I don't think the right. It has. It's hit Virginia Tech. It's hit a couple of these school districts, but not the right. Like, I don't know what that button is, and I don't know if it's necessarily linked to race specifically, but it hasn't hit the right one, Akili. And I see you got some feelings to where it's like, this is a button. This got to change. Guns got to go.
No, I hear you. I mean, I'm not an advocate of violence. I don't condone it in any way. However, I do condone self-defense. I believe, and that's how I was raised, and that's how I'm going to raise my kids. You got to defend yourself. You can't just let someone run you over. And so I think that there has to be certain protocols and regulations that like we just talked about. You want to drive a car, you got to take the proper test, and you have to get the proper Facts. Training to be able to get the permit, and then to get the license, and then yes. to drive. I believe it's the same thing with guns, and I think it should be something that is a challenge for you to get. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It shouldn't be as easy as drinking water.
Come on to Walmart.
Exactly. But, I mean, I disagree with you in the sense that, I mean, I hear what you're saying from an ethical, spiritual perspective. But at the end of the day, if someone's going to mess with your kids, you're going to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And I think a preventative measure is to have the pistol in the crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's a different topic. Like, I'm with
How
you.
How so?
It's a different topic in the sense that are you saying that there should be no society that has guns? How do you hunt for food? Are we going back to bow and arrow?
If they're specific for that, yeah. Like, that's like me saying we shouldn't have knives because I can't cut open a cow or something.
So you could use a gun to protect yourself from an animal. Are humans not animals? What's the difference?
If it's within that context, yes.
Okay, so I'll come with you. Okay.
Outside of that context. And I hear you saying to an extent, because forgive me if I'm wrong, you don't have a gun.
Oh, don't put my business out there, bruh.
Or you do. I don't know. Okay. I'll put my, whatever. That's fine. Hey, man, this is keeper real tech.
Anyway.
Okay.
Keeper real tech.
You don't have to answer.
No, it's just tech, bruh.
We changed it for the day. Don't get mad at me.
I don't know where you
Don't
was
get
going
mad
with
at
that.
Me, Joe. But I say that to say, if guns are, and I'm going to assume, let me play devil's advocate, I'm just going to say you don't have a gun in the house. I'm going to say you don't. And if things progress, what I feel you saying, if you feel that threat to your wife, your kids, your family, you are going to have to go and arm yourself properly.
Not if I feel the threat. There is a threat.
But listen, guns haven't been there, but they're not as normalized.
Oh, they've always been normalized. This is a part of this
country.
No. It's in the
Constitution.
You
just brought up the whole thing that you brought up.
It's in the Constitution.
Is talking about this just as easy to buy as
your
ABC.
Founding fathers put it in the Constitution.
Facts.
As an amendment.
No,
it's a part of this.
You,
a part
you
of,
brought up the whole section for this to be normalized as buying a box, a thing of bubblegum.
Normalizing this. Yeah, you're right. Normalizing the sense that it's like, hey, like you said, buying just a random thing. Yes.
When you think of guns, you think of somebody's pops got to eat in the house if it's going down. Well, that's what you think of.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
When you think of a gun or the appropriateness, you go, man, his daddy got the shotgun in the back. Like, you know, if he got to protect the family. That's when I hear guns in our everyday society normalized.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because he got to protect the family. It's the shotgun. If it really has to happen, he's got it there.
Okay.
It's like a dad, the treasure chest up top. You know, when something happens, the kid gets to the gun.
Yep.
That's normalized. But almost to the, and that's certain pops, certain households. And I understand it, man. I'm going to lay my life down for my family if necessary. I'm saying if to another extent, you may have to ramp up even more. And I'm assuming that you don't. For argument's sake, I'm saying you're a guy that doesn't. But if this normalizes through the app, through the phone, through Amazon, like a stick of bubble gum or a pair of shoes.
Okay, so I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I mean,
you're going to have one in the whip.
Everything in
the house?
Everything in moderation, right? And so I was just dealing with what you said, that you were advocating that there should be no guns. And so that's the part that I kind of disagree with, because at the end of the day...
In context.
But in context of what?
Hunting.
Okay, keep going.
I'm not for war. I'm all the way against war. Yeah,
but you'll go to war to protect yours.
Never. I will not go to war. I will not take up arms to go to war.
You will not. No, to protect yours is what I'm saying. I don't mean go to war literally.
I jump in front. I got to die first.
I don't mean go to war like with the army. You'll go to war for your family. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in front of whatever bullet for my kids. I'm going to do anything I can to within God's laws.
There's going to be other steps that you're going to do before you jump in front of a bullet.
What is under other steps?
The other steps is that you're going to make sure there ain't no bullets being fired at you. You're gonna make sure that they can't fire no bullets.
We getting out. We gone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's other steps too.
Tell me the steps. Because I'm keeping real. GNT. You over 50-50 and I'm 100.
You already know the steps. If someone come into the crib tonight, bruh, knock on wood that they don't, you gonna handle it.
Yeah, I'm going down.
And you gonna second guess, you're gonna wish you had the heat if you don't have the heat. If they come into the crib.
Hopefully I take it to prayer. I already said I know a gun. Not only spiritually isn't for me, but I'm the guy if in certain moments I'd have killed somebody already.
Hey.
And I say that respectfully so. That's not a threat. That's not a whatever.
It is
emotionally. We're human.
Exactly.
And a lot of people unfortunately die, Akili, because of human emotions. One stupid mistake, one person, one everyday person like me or you. Or whomever goes there in that feeling, in that space.
That could be with any, and we're going to wrap this conversation, but this is a good conversation. That could be with any tool. It's not just a gun. It could be with anything. I could use my vehicle as a weapon. I could use this laptop to do damage to you if I didn't have the mental stability.
Facts.
If you piss me off that much, I might use this BHL microphone.
You got to work for that one. Likely, I'm going to have a way better chance of living. I'm going to have to attack you,
bro,
and you in self-defense let me have it.
Really?
If I have a gun, I could be over there and you take me out.
Not me.
That's a fact.
Nah, bro.
If you have a gun and I'm over there, you could take me out.
Oh, you said that.
Now, if you want to kill me with the laptop, you got to go catch me, dog. You got to fight on your hands.
But the point is, it's all about, just to tie it all in, it's all about your mental stability. It's all about what you value.
Amen.
It's about your value for human life. And the proper training, so you know the protocol of when you go and pull the heat, how to pull the heat, how to clean the heat, all the things that go involved in that. It's not just reckless, you know?
You should know more conflict resolution.
Yeah, so you don't have to pull the heat.
Yes.
Right. Anywho.
My man.
I pulled the heat on you a couple times. We ain't going to talk about that, though.
You don't have a gun.
Really?
Yeah.
Come to the crib, bro.
I've been in the crib.
Yeah, you ain't been in the crib.
I done came in there late nights, dog, and I ain't had the pistol. I ain't had a pistol on the side of my head when you expect me in the crib, dog, and it would have been there. Hey.
Anywho, we gonna tie this down real quick, but I want to ask you, man, did you see the Kobe documentary, the animated short? Have you seen it?
I didn't watch it in full.
Oh.
I feel so compelled and so... It's almost like as a ball player, as an African American, this is like me missing Black Panther now. Like, I got to go back and watch this. Like, is it safe to say the first athlete, correct me if I'm wrong, to win an Oscar?
I don't know. I don't know the facts on that.
Definitely first NBA player.
For sure.
We would have known. First NBA player to win an Oscar and this fast, this soon. I won't shut up and dribble.
Man, thank you. That was a bar. Thank you. Anywho, really quick, let's go through...
Shut up and host.
The Oscars, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man. you lucky I got the proper training and protocol.
Oh, my gosh. Conflict resolution, man.
Best picture, Shape of Water. Did you see it?
Shape of Water. Who was in that before I say that I didn't?
Come on, man. That's Guillermo del Toro who directed
that. I didn't see no Shape of Water, dog.
Okay. Well, hey,
I'm gonna go back and see.
Shape of Water won Best Picture, won for Best Director. Mm. So we had The Darkest Hour, who Gary Oldman won the Best Actor. Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Frances McDormand won the Best Actress for that one. The Best Supporting Actor was also Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri by Sam Rockwell. Best Supporting Actress, Tonya, Allison Janney. And yeah, Get Out, Jordan Peele.
Facts. Are you happy about that? That's all that matters, bro.
You happy about that?
Yeah. Why do you always challenge my culture?
I have to.
It's not even blackness. You challenge my culture, bro, because I could be white up here, and you challenging my culture, dog.
I couldn't tell.
I could be Asian, and you talking about, you see Get Out?
You could be.
You said no, it's my dog.
Blade Runner. Did you catch that?
No, I need to go back and watch it.
You didn't see Blade Runner? Oh, you tripping, bro.
I forget where I was, what I was doing. But the Blade Runner access wasn't there.
Wow. It won for best cinematography and best visual effects. That was a slapper. And then we already talked about Kobe, which I think is pretty awesome.
As many things as I put you on, you ain't put me on nothing.
You ain't put me on nothing, bro.
How dare you?
Anyway.
Bro, are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Are you going to...
What you put me on, bro?
Somebody scratched the film from today. This dude is telling me I ain't put him on... Mateo.
Well, let the people know where they can find you, my man.
Listen.
I'm putting you on right now.
At the Ryan Hollins. Am I in a one or a two? Let me look at my one. At the Ryan Hollins on Twitter. Just straight Ryan Hollins on Instagram. Email me, DM me, holla at your boy, man. I love my fans. I love my supporters. I love the day ones.
Yes, sir.
Yes, check me out.
And as always, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, giving your takes and insights.
Come on, Brody.
The people can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. And as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us, and we will see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.